As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Wednesday, October 26th. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is Sports Ethos presentation. And if you haven't checked us out already, go to sportsethos.com. We are exploding these days with sports coverage from NBA to NFL, college basketball. NBA, as I said, is at the forefront historically, but we're moving much more into football. I'll be getting a lot of college basketball stuff going soon with my colleague Blake Watch, some NBA coverage, fantasy, wagering, DFS, whatever you want. We've got podcasts for it. We've got articles for it. We've got some great subscription prices. Get some more details and info there. Highly recommend you go to sportsethos.com, check out our prices and our packages. I'm part of the Wager Pass group, and you can get that for as little as $9.99 a month. And we have been more than making you money, more than making that money back over pretty much since the start of the year in all our sports. So check us out at sportsethos.com and follow me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. So we hit the NBA tonight. 10 games there, 4 games in NHL. I'll quickly touch upon as well. But we start on the hardwood, 7-10 in the East. We've got the Atlanta Hawks in Detroit to face the Pistons. The Hawks come in 7.5-point favorites. 229.5 is the total. I like the Hawks to win this. The money line's minus 300. It's a little steep for me. If anything, I would probably look to just laying half a unit or something on that. I think Atlanta wins. I think they win easy. Detroit has just been struggling. I mean, Detroit was a hard team last year to handicap. They had a few games where they got just blown out by like 30 points, I remember, kind of halfway through the year. And then they'd come back a game or two later and upset a team that they had no business beating. So I still think they're kind of that young lineup, exciting lineup. Cade Cunningham's been playing great. Jaden Ivey at the shooting guard spot's been getting some minutes. He's been what you would expect from a rookie, very inconsistent, but looks good. Sadiq Bey, looks like he's going to be a solid pro. Bojan Bogdanovic has been playing well. And Isaiah Stewart in what, his third year, I think. All young guys I like. Jalen Duran as well, coming off the bench was behind Stewart. He's been looking solid. Just too inconsistent. And Atlanta with Trae Young, who hasn't been super hot to start, but he's Trae Young. He'll do just fine. I think people were worried about DeJounte Murray taking away from him. I don't see how that happens at all. Murray's played well to start the season. But I don't see that happening at all. So I'm on the Hawks here to win. I just don't like laying 7.5. If that were close to 5, I'd probably do it. One prop that I am on, though, is John Collins over 7.5 assists. I got that at about minus 130, minus 135. I just don't see Stewart being able to stop him or Duran. He's been playing well. He's been consistently getting those numbers, trying to pull up his recent stats. But Collins, I think, not easily hits that total, but should be able to get to the boards on both ends of the court. And get that over 7.5 assists. And here we go. So far this year, he's only played 3 games. He's got 8, 13, and 10. So averaging a little over that. Well, averaging definitely over 7.5. Hit that every game. That's why I was on. I was kind of surprised it was this low. Again, I think Stewart and Jalen Duren can give him a challenge, but I don't think they're going to be able to slow him down. Noro Bogdanovic. I mean, you've got Clint Capella at the 5. You've got Okongwu at the 5 for Atlanta. So Collins will be able, I think, to swoop in and get some decent assist number, and should be able to hit that 7.5 prop. So that is the one play I'm on that game. Next game, 7-10 East, we have the Magic of Orlando in Cleveland. Cavs find themselves 8.5-point favorite. Total here, 215.5. I'm not really on anything in this game. I like Cleveland to win, I think, quite easily. Moneyline's 370. I'm not going to be touching that. Team totals are interesting here. I was looking at Cleveland maybe over 113.5, 112.5. If you look, I mean, the season's so young, but Cleveland is averaging just under 117 points per game. And Orlando and what's Cleveland at? 2-1. And the Magic come in 0-4 and giving up 115.5 points per game. My fear is this game gets out of hand. If Cleveland gets up 12, 15 points, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter, they take their foot off the gas and don't get there. But I would consider maybe a Cleveland team total. I saw it on DraftKings actually at 112.5. About minus 120. I also saw it somewhere else at 113.5 plus 105. So I'd probably go to the 113.5 just to get the plus juice there. So stay away from me. I like the Cavs to win. Just be too big a number for me. Next game of the night should be an interesting one. 7:40 in the East. We've got the Nets in Milwaukee to face the Bucks. The Nets come in plus 3.5. Total here. Bucks minus 3.5. Total here 231. Obviously a lot of points to be scored. I like the Bucks. The problem is you just can't bet against, I don't think you can. So far, you probably could this year. Brooklyn and the Nets with KD and Durant going, they can just go off at any time against anybody. The problem is the depth on that team. They come in at 1-2, and the Bucks are perfect 2-0, so really too early to judge much of that. But the problem is on the Nets, you got Ben Simmons, who can't seem to, again, put the ball in the ocean, shooting wise, but playing well otherwise, which I think is kind of his game. And that's fine when he's on the court with Kyrie and Katie. But you've got Royce O'Neal, small forward, speedy Nick Claxton, but doing well playing center. But are you really going to bank on him continuing that for the year? Then you got Joe Harris coming off the bench, Patty Mills coming off the bench. Behind that, and even that, they just don't have the depth. And I think you're going to see that if any one of the big three, specifically Kyrie and KD, slow down, get hurt, have a bad game, Brooklyn's out of it. Flip side of that is if they put it together, the big two have a good game and Simmons does his defensive moving the ball kind of thing that he does, then I think they can beat anybody. Haven't proven it yet, but they can beat anybody. The Bucks, on the other hand, are fairly healthy. They've got everybody going. Giannis obviously is in there. Let me just pull up their injury report. The Bucks. Well, Connaughton's out. That's not a big thing. Chris Middleton is out still, which hurts them. But I think they're the better team. I don't really want to. You know what? I might lay 3.5. I'm going to look at that. If that gets down to 3, closer to game time, I might. But kind of stay away from me, I think. I just don't like going against the Brooklyn. I mean, this game could be a 20-point Bucks blowout, or it could be a Nets win. So not going to touch that one. Next game, 7:40 in the East. Charlotte travels to New York to take on the Knicks. The Knicks come in 7.5-point favorites. 225.5 is the total. I was a little surprised by this. I think Charlotte's being undervalued. They, again, kind of early. Both teams come in at 2-1. Charlotte's won 2 games on the road, though, and averaging 122 points although they're giving up almost 112 against. So I do like Charlotte. I may jump on them at plus 7.5. I just think they're giving up way too many points. When I look on the injury report, let's see here. Charlotte, LaMelo's obviously out. Terry Rozier is doubtful. And the Knicks don't have anybody that's going to affect the game that's out. So with Rozier out, obviously the number goes up a little bit for the Knicks. Dennis Smith should get to start at point guard. If you're looking maybe a prop on him, it should be decent. But you still got Hayward playing. P.J. Washington's been playing great. You've got Plumlee and Jalen McDaniels splitting. You've got Plumlee and Nick Richards splitting the center role. Richards has been playing really well. So it's going to be interesting. I think he will take over that role. But for now, the starting Plumlee. I was looking at P.J. Washington prop of under 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And the only reason is because I think Richards is going to take more time away. Or he's going to be on the court a little bit more. And I know Washington's more playing the four and Plumlee's playing the five. So Richards would switch with Plumlee. But I also think the Knicks throwing up Mitch Robinson at center. Julius Randle probably power forward is the usual lineup. Then they've got Isaiah Hartenstein behind them. It's going to be tough for him to get those rebounds and potentially some baskets around the net against the big boys. So considering that, didn't pull the trigger on it. I saw it at minus 115, under 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists for P.J. Washington. Next game, as we move on, I'm just going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish out this slate and get to the NHL.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back onto the hard court, hardwood. And we hit, where'd we leave off? This was Charlotte and the Knicks. So we're going to go to Toronto, and we get Philly in town to play the Raptors. And you get the I was about to say the Flyers, wrong sport. You get the 76ers as 2-point favorites here, total 211.5. Now, these teams last met last spring, when 76ers disposed of the Raptors 4-2 in the playoffs. And both teams, I think, are very equally matched. I think the one advantage goes to Philly with Embiid in the middle, and the Raptors just don't have the answer for that. So I'm actually surprised it's -2. If anything, I would lean to Philly -2 here. With Scottie Barnes is listed. Last I saw, he's listed as questionable. He didn't play last game for the Raptors. Still listed as questionable. And if he's out, then, you know, you got Siakam probably sliding into the four and Precious Achiuwa starting in the five, the center position. Now, Achiuwa had 22 rebounds last game, and everybody's talking him up. But Siakam and Achiuwa and Chris Boucher, who's banged up a little too, do not match up well against Joel Embiid. So I think that guy could have a night tonight. He could feast. And it's going to be tough. So if Scottie Barnes is out, that kind of slides everybody up. If Barnes is playing, you start Siakam at the five, more or less. You got Van Fleet and Trent as the guards. You got OG Anunoby as your small forward. And then you've kind of got Barnes as the four, Siakam as the five. And again, if behind that, you got Achiuwa and Boucher. They're just not going to be able to stop Joel Embiid. So I think Embiid has his way. But these teams, Nick Nurse and Toronto, always seem to be able to scheme up a way to keep the games close. Obviously, there's been some history with these two teams, especially in Toronto. The fans love to get on Embiid. So it should be a good game. 211.5 is a pretty reasonable number. Two solid defensive teams. And I just think the Sixers are slightly better. Not necessarily. Well, yeah, slightly better team, obviously. And if Harden and Maxey can get going, they're going to be well on their way to scoring some points. But I just think the Raps don't have an answer for Embiid. So I'm looking to probably be Philly -2 in this game. Next game, 8-10 in the East, we have the Indiana Pacers, and they are going into Chicago. The Bulls find themselves 7.5-point favorites. 234.5 is the total. And when I look on the injury report here, we've got obviously Lonzo Ball is out, continues to be out. He's going to be out for a while. And for Indy, Daniel Theis is out, and Miles Turner is questionable. Now, I don't think that's as big as a deal as what people are making it out to be, whether he comes back or not. Because if he doesn't, the Pacers simply slide one of Gogo Badatse or Isaiah Jackson into the center spot. Probably play both of them if they have to, obviously. And Jalen Smith continues to do well and play a power forward. And that's what I'm actually on this game. I like the Bulls. I just can't lay 7.5. The Bulls are always better at home. I think Indiana's playing a little bit above, not playing above, but scoring more than what they are. They're averaging almost 118 points. They're 1-3 in season, 118 points, but they're giving up 121.5. The Bulls come in on four games, averaging 108 points for, but only giving up 110. So I think the defense can clamp down for Chicago here, keep this game well in hand for them. Just don't want to lay 7.5. What I am on, though, is Jalen Smith for Indiana. Over 13.5 points. I got that at -110. And I'm also on his point, rebound, and assist at over 21.5. I got that also at -110. And when I pull up his recent numbers, I'm just trying to find it. Here we go. Jalen Smith, his recent numbers. When I look at his points, he's had 22 minutes the first game of the season, scored 16 points. Only played 7 minutes in the second game, 2 points. 28 minutes against Detroit, 19 points. And 25 against Philly, and with Embiid on the court, got 17 points that game. So can he get 13.5 points? I think he can. Can he get 13.5 points going against Vucevic or Patrick Williams down low? You know, a few more points, buckets close to the basket, I think he can. When I look at his rebounds, he's got 8 rebounds, 2, 15, and 10. So if I'm adding his points and his rebounds, he only needs to get to 21.5, and then he chips in basically 1 assist a game. So I think also when I look at this game, the point total is fairly high, 234.5. So the Pacers come in with about 113.5 point total. So points are going to be scored. Again, I said earlier, I think this Bulls game to win, but 113.5 points. Somebody's got to score. Smith's been doing well. If Turner is out, I think that's a benefit because Jackson and Datsa aren't going to add a whole lot of offense points. So it's going to come down to Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and I think Jalen Smith again. And maybe Benedict Mathurin. He's been actually playing quite well. The rookie who I think is probably the biggest surprise so far this season as a rookie. But I like Jalen Smith over 13.5 points and over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Next game, 8-10 in the East. We've got the Spurs for their back-to-back set in Minnesota. The Spurs actually won the last game, but Minnesota comes in 9.5 point favorite, 235 total. A big number there. And Minnesota's team total is about 122.5. What I'm on here is I'm actually on Trey Jones in San Antonio, over 13.5 points. And the reason is Devin Vassell behind him is out for the game. So I think he's going to be getting more run. He's been playing fairly well. When I look at his point totals so far to date, his first game against Charlotte, 24 minutes, 14 points, 35 minutes against Indy, 18 points, 30 minutes against Philly, 17 points. And his last game against Minnesota, which they actually won 115-106, 30 minutes and 8 points. So that's the only game he didn't cover this prop. And with Vassell out tonight, when I go to the injury report, Vassell, I think, is really the big name on it. Vassell is out, and on the other side, no real huge names for Minnesota. So I think he has the ability to run the point. Obviously, he's running the point. Score a little bit more without Vassell. Josh Primo is his backup off the bench, and he struggled last game. He's been very inconsistent, so I think they're going to give him a run, a bit more run. you know, he's minutes played for Jones, 24, 35, 30, 30. So without Vassell, without Primo doing much, I could see him getting into the 34, 35 minute range, which certainly helps for his points. The flip side is on Minnesota with their team total 122.5. Well, someone's got to score here. So I went to Carl Anthony Towns, who's been having his usual kind of season. Just trying to pull up his numbers here. And so far in his four games, 36 minutes, 12 points on opening night against OKC, 33 minutes, 27 points against in a loss to Utah, 30 minutes, 15 points in an easy win over OKC again, and 39 minutes against these same Spurs, 27 points the other night. So I've got Karl Anthony Towns at 22.5 points is, I think that's what, just trying to pull it up here, is it 22? Sorry, where are we here? Great podcasting, I know. Yeah, 22.5 points. I got it at minus 106. I also see 21.5 at minus 120. So I've got 22.5 at minus 106. And the fact of the matter is, I just think that their team total is 122.5. It's going to be a lot of points scored. Rudy Gobert is the center now, so he doesn't have to worry about cleaning off the glass down low. And he doesn't have to go against Jacob Poeltl. Which Gobert will. Instead, he's got Jeremy Sochan probably on him most of the night as a small forward slash power forward. And maybe Isaiah Roby gets in there a little. Either way, I don't think either of those guys can stop Towns. I think Towns will get his points. And in a game where 122.5 points seem to be scored, or expected to be scored, somebody's got to put the ball in the bucket. And the thing is with Gobert there, I watched him play last game, and they didn't really. He doesn't seem involved yet. There's a lot of pick and rolls where they missed him, and he's never been a high volume scorer like that. Especially when he's got another big man around him shooting. I mean, he's been a high volume scorer, but not. He's not going to be the focal point with Kat there. And again, when I watched the game, I know it was a bad game. They didn't play well, but there's so many pick and rolls they missed. I just don't think they're in sync yet. So they'll be in sync with Kat, and I could see him getting some points and having his way. 9.5 points spread. My only fear is the game gets out of hand. I don't think it will, though. I'm actually probably going to be on San Antonio. This was at +9 earlier, 9.5 now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on the Spurs at +9.5. They just beat Minnesota. Are they going to beat them back-to-back nights? No. Devin Vassell's out. I get that. But I don't think a nine and a half is a realistic spread. It probably should be 7, 7.5. So probably going to be on the Spurs at +9.5 as well. Third last game of the night is at 9:10 in the East. We've got Houston in Utah to face the Jazz. Jazz come in 8-point favorites, 232.5 the total. Jazz been playing well, no doubt. I don't know that I buy it completely. We've got second in the Western Conference at 3-1, the Utah Jazz, averaging just over 121 points and giving up about 116. And there's your problem right there. It's a little bit fool's gold when they're giving up, I think, when they're giving up that many points. Houston's 1-3, averaging about 112 points, giving up almost 120. So high total here for Utah. I mean, the game's total is 233. The Jazz would come in at about a 120.5 point total. So I'm on a couple props for the Jazz. I'm on Vanderbilt for over 8.5 points and over 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He's been playing very well in his new home. And when I pull up his numbers, so in the first four games he's played, 18 minutes, seven points. Next game against Denver. Next game, 25 minutes against Minnesota. He had 4 points. Then when he gets a little more minutes, 28 minutes, 15 points, and 32 minutes, 13 points. So can he get 8.5 points tonight? I certainly think he can. The way they match up as well. He's trying to pull up their rosters here. He'll be going against probably Jayshon Tate, who's coming back for his first game. You've got Kelly Olynyk probably playing the five, and he'll be rotating with Walker Kessler and Vanderbilt. And even got Lauri Markkanen out there for a bit of power forward minutes. So all those guys going against Jabari Smith has been well, playing well. Jayshon Tate, I don't know that he's going to be able to stop Vanderbilt. So I can see Vanderbilt getting the points. Again, a high total of 120.5. I can see him continuing to get 30-plus minutes or around 30 minutes as they're building him up. and he should be able to get there. Also, I see his points, rebounds, and assists at 20.5. And I got that at minus 110 on DK. I just think he has a good night. He's had three nights this year where he's gotten over 10 rebounds. He's gotten 12, 14, 4, and 11 rebounds. So he's got to this 20.5 number, and I think he'll continue to get it. And the one game where he really struggled, you know, that is 4 points. He was only 2 for 5 from the floor. So he did hardly shot at all. And I think that was more of an anomaly. But he did get 14. Even in that game where he only had 4 points, he had 14 points and 14 rebounds and 4 assists. So he still got over the points, rebounds, and assists, had 22. First night of the year, he had 20. Third game of the year, he had 20. And then last game, he had 26 when it comes to points, rebounds, and assists against these same Rockets 2 nights ago. So I can see him doing that again. The next one is Lauri Markkanen. I've got him over 19.5 points. He's played well. And the only game he didn't get to this was the last game a couple days ago against Houston. So first game of the year, 33 minutes against Denver, 17 points. 39 minutes against the T-Wolves, 24 points. 39 minutes against New Orleans, 31 points. Last game, 31 minutes, just 14 points. The interesting thing is he shot 7 for 19, 368 from the floor, and that is not Markkanen's game. He's a good shooter, and he's not going to be held to, I don't think, anything under probably 430, 440. So shooting 368 or 719 from the field, even if he hits a couple more of those, he gets a lot closer to that 19.5. total. So I'm on the 19.5 total Lauri Markkanen points. Second last game of the night is in Denver, where the LA Lakers are in town, the struggling Lakers. The home Nuggets find themselves 5-point favorites. Total here is 229. No major injuries. I laugh when I look at this as the season starts. I'm looking at the injury report. Lakers, Anthony Davis, probable. LeBron, probable. I think every game last year, those two are listed as probable. And on the Nuggets side, Michael Porter Jr. is listed as questionable. Other than that, everybody's healthy. I'm actually on the Nuggets, -5. I've watched a couple Laker games, and I know it's early, and I know it's overreaction, but I just think they look terrible. Terrible. I mean, they're 0-3, averaging 103 points. You can't average 103 points if you expect to be anywhere close to a contender. Giving up 111. Again, it's early. It's only 3 games. Denver 2-2, averaging 115.5 points, giving up 124.5. So that's got to get fixed. That's probably why the total in the game is 229. Wide total for Denver 117 and LA about 112. I just like the Nuggets here. I don't know what's going on. I mean, LeBron's been playing well. Westbrook was listed as he's not on the injury report, which I find interesting because I heard earlier. Well, you know, I'm sorry. He's listed as doubtful. I heard earlier he was probably out. And obviously all the conspiracy theorists are starting to think, why is he out? Is this a fake injury? Are they just getting him out of the lineup to trade him, to get rid of him, or to give him a break from the press? Who knows? Fact is, he's doubtful. So I even listed as doubtful, I can't see him playing. And I've watched a couple of games. Anthony Davis, to me, just looks, I don't want to say disinterested, but just looks like he's playing soft. They say he's got his back, he's tightening up last game on him. You know, so you've got a starting lineup of Pat Beverly, Lonnie Walker, and Troy Brown. And then you got LeBron and AD. And LeBron's been playing great. AD hasn't. And those top three guys, they're just not. I don't personally think they're going to be able to compete with many teams. So I think it's a long season in Lakerland again this year. Unless they make a trade, but I don't know that they have the pieces to make any trades. They don't really have any bench. Great bench players. They don't have any great rookies. So I just don't see them being able to compete this year. It's unfortunate because the NBA is better when the Lakers are good. Love them or hate them, it's better when they're good. But I think they're in for a long year. And I think it's going to be like last year. LeBron's going to carry the team. AD is going to be in and out of the lineup, looking like he's interested, disinterested. I mean, the guy's a friggin' monster, and he won't go after rebounds. I know he got a double-double last game, but he gets some of the softest rebounds. I watched him play Golden State earlier this year, and he had no interest in going anywhere around Draymond. And you know what? The West kind of goes through deliberate the whole league right now, but the West still kind of goes through Golden State. And if your team wants to show up and you want to be, you know, the power forward / center, you're going to have to be able to fight through some guys like that. And I know he's a perimeter shooter and he's great at it, but he's got to step up, I think, and show a little more heart and a little more fight. Anyways, enough about my AD LA Lakers rant. I think they're in for a long year is the gist of that. But I like the Nuggets. I think Jokic against AD could have a field day. I looked at a bunch of his props, his totals, his PRS props, rebounds, assists. Didn't get there on any. They're just priced too high. But I think he has a great game. Jamal Murray's been struggling a little. I think he'll right the ship after missing so much last year. But I like the Lakers here. Pardon me. I like the Nuggets here. I was hoping it'd be a little less than -5, but at -5, even though they're giving up a lot of points, I don't think that they're going to be able to – at home, I don't think they're going to lose to the Lakers. So I'm on the Nuggets -5. Final game of the night is Miami in Portland. The surging Portland Trailblazers, where do they come from? You can get the Heat. Now it's down to -2.5. When I started recording, it was at -3. So you can get the Heat at -2.5. Total here is 220.5. You've got the, I'm going to say, NBA leading Portland Trailblazers at 4-0, averaging 117 points a game, 108 against. And you've got the Heat at 1-3, 103.5 points per game, and a hunt, but 108.5 against. So I'm on the Heat. I'll be honest with you, 2.5. They're a better team. I know they're struggling, and I know Portland is flying. When I look at the injury report, no one really of any – nobody really in the starting lineup that's going to affect them. Lillard's been playing well. Jeremiah Grant's been doing well. Josef Nurkic is playing great. But I just look at the Heat. When you got Lowry, Hero, Butler – Caleb Martin and Bam Adebayo there, and you've got Strauss and Vincent, Duncan Robinson coming off the bench. I just think they're a better team. I know it's on the road. Portland's hot. They're at home. I think in a neutral site, you probably got Miami by 5 or 6 in this game. So I take the veterans. I take the Heat. If you can get – I saw Max Strauss over 10.5 point prop, around -112. I think it was on FanDuel. That might not be a bad option. He is hot and cold, but when he is hot, he should be able to put those numbers up easily. Pulling up his numbers, when I look at his season total this year, so 31 minutes in the first game, 22 points, shot 7 from 9 from the field, 3 from 5 from the charity stripe. So what did I do? I jumped on a max. I think it was a Max Strus 10.5 point prop. Next game, he went out and he got 23 minutes in a 111-104 loss to Boston. Only played 23 minutes. Then against the Raptors, 37 minutes, 20 points. Then against the Raptors next game, 30 minutes, 6 points. But he only shot 3 for 14 in that game. So obviously he's a bit of a three-point specialist. And he got, just trying to find, he got 5 in the first game, 0 in the second, 3 in the next game, 0 in the third. I saw a prop of over 2.5 three-pointers. Didn't want to touch that. But I think at 10.5 points, he's coming off the bench as a shooting guard, power forward, small forward, power forward kind of. He can put the ball in the basket. Last game, 3 for 14, which is a 214. That's not his number. Obviously, he throws up a lot of shots. Last year, he shot 441 from the field. This year, on average, he's shooting 452. So when I look at last game, when he shot 214, that's not his game. I mean, 3 for 14, if he can hit a few more of those. If he hits 3 more of those, he gets at least 6 points. Then he's only 6 for 14, and he cashes your 10.5 point prop. So I'd look to Max Strus potentially in this game, but I am on the Heat at, now that it's dropped to 2.5. I'm definitely on the Heat in this one possession game. I think they win. I think they break the NBA leading Portland Trailblazers undefeated season, and should be a good game though. Surprisingly, because I think if you talked about this in the preseason, not many people would have thought this would be a great game. So that's a hardwood. We move to the ice tonight. 3 games in the NHL. Battle of New York sees the Rangers and the Islanders at 7:35 today. You can get the home Islanders at -140. Total here is 6. Juice to the under. It's at -115. I'd actually go under. I think Shesterkin's starting for the Rangers tonight. If he's not, I'd stay away. If he is, I would go to the under here. This has always been a good rivalry. The Islanders always do well at home. I think they're a better team than everybody expects, and the Rangers are obviously a solid team, especially with Shesterkin and net. +140. I'm -140 in the money line. I'm not touching that, but I would look to the under here at -115. Next game has the Oilers in St. Louis to play the Blues. You can get the home the road Oilers at -115 is the favorite. The home Blues at -105. I think I'd take the Blues here at -105. Both teams are obviously decent hockey teams. The Oilers, fantastic offense. Jack Campbell, their goalie, has struggled, though. Welcome to Edmonton. Goaltending struggles continue. They go out and sign him as their free agent from the Leafs, and he's been pooping to bed this year. I think he's better. He's a better goalie than he's been playing, but if they can right that ship, they are looking a lot better. But their offense has been clicking. 6.5 is a total here. Juice to the over, -115. In St. Louis, I don't know that I would touch that over. And if I had to go one side, I'd probably take the Blues at -1.5. Last game of the night, 10:05 in the East. Tampa is in Anaheim to play the Ducks. You've got the Road Lightning at -145. Total here is 6.5. And I think that's a pretty decent price. If you can get Tampa Bay on a money line at that good a price, I think you're doing all right there. And just trying to pull up here some standings. Tampa has not come out on fire this year. Obviously, they're 3-4 overall this season. 2-3 in the road, 20 goals for, 23 against. But, you know, won the Stanley Cup twice in a row, lost it last year in the finals to Colorado. I still think they're one of the league's elite teams. And Anaheim has been playing. Anaheim's a good young team. It's going to be interesting to see where they are in a couple of years. They're only 1-4-1, 14 goals for and 28 against. So the total here is 6.5. I would lean to the under. I mean, the Ducks have 14 goals in six games, so they're averaging just over 2 per game. The flip side of that is obviously Tampa has some great offense. They're getting 20 goals in 7 games, so they're just under 3 goals a game. I would lean to the under, and not that I don't think Tampa can score. I think they can score and they can win. I'm just not sure Anaheim can put it up, especially if Vasilevsky's in net for Tampa. I think he is in net for Tampa Bay tonight, and if he is, then I'm on Tampa Bay for sure at -145, and I'm on the under of 6.5. With the Lightning probably winning by a couple goals. You can get the Lightning at -1.5 on the puck line, which in hockey means kind of like the run line in baseball. They get a win by 1.5, so they get a win by 2. In hockey, it's a lot tougher to do, but you can get the Lightning at +170. I'd say there's a fair bit of value there. I think they should win. They should win easy. If Vasilevsky's in net, then they definitely win. Well, not definitely. And they have a lot better chance to win. So I'd probably look to them there. So, recap of the NBA, got some sides, got some props, got some totals, quick look at the NHL. But before I go, I do want to remind you one of our partners here at Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com, and at checkout, use the code HOOPBALL20. You get 20% off your order and free shipping. And also, if you haven't already checked this out, as I started the show, sports ethos has been booming lately. And we've got a lot of things going on. If you're into fantasy basketball, check out Ethos Fantasy BB for basketball. That's a Twitter handle. Lots of updates there. You can check out Ethos Fantasy FB for football. We've got a lot in JP Sticko runs our Fantasy Football Today podcast. He's been doing a great job at that. Love listening to JP. On Twitter, he's at JPSTICCO. You can follow him there. So check out our Fantasy Ethos Fantasy BB for basketball. Sorry, BK for basketball, Ethos Fantasy FB for football. Lots of information, lots of updates, and check all of our site out, sportsethos.com. You can see all our packs, you see all our information, a lot of great stuff, a lot of very reasonably priced stuff. Highly recommend you go check it out. And give me a follow at Doug_Reed34. Send any comments, thoughts, and feedback. Love to hear from people. Always love interacting and chatting with people. And hopefully we can make some money tonight, and we will catch you all tomorrow.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.